Last week, we were talking about parable of the mustard seed. Jesus used this really short story to talk about the kingdom, and he used all these stories to say this is what the kingdom of God is like, all right? And so what happens is Jesus is using all these parables, some of them longer than others. This one's very short, just like the parable of the mustard seed was last week. And so Jesus told us a few things about the kingdom and just kind of a way of review to kind of get us ready for this morning because it kind of goes along with last week's, all right? Here's what we learned last week. The greatest things start from the smallest of beginnings. The greatest things start from the smallest of beginnings. And in Zechariah, I think it's 4, verse 10, it says, "Don't despise the day of small beginnings." You ever been in something that started out really small and you were like, oh man, we were wanting something really big and then you just quit? And Jesus says, don't do that. God says, don't despise that. With your growth groups, perfect example. If you've just got a few people and you go, oh, it didn't go, and we thought we'd have 20 people because we're great and everybody loves us. Okay, whatever. You know, I'm sure everybody loves you. I'm sure you're wonderful and great. But the reality is you can't despise those small beginnings because that's how God works. Another thing that we looked at was this. Let God bring success in his time. After all, time is on his side. A lot of times, man, we want everything to go from nothing to greatness, you know? It just doesn't happen like that. Athletes don't get that way. They don't go from nothing to greatness. It's all the thousands of hours. It always annoys me, and this is one of my big pet peeves. When I hear a great musician or when I see a great athlete, you'll hear people say this, wow, that lady or that guy is really talented. There's a partial truth there, but there's something kind of taken away in that statement. And you know what's taken away in that statement? All of the thousands of hours of discipline and practice to develop, yes, the talent that they were given, but let's face it, LeBron didn't just show up and go, you know, I think I'm going to play basketball. And at age 18 say, hey, I'm just talented, and he had never played before, you know? He didn't practice with a team. He didn't practice by himself. He just showed up and just played. And there's always kind of been a little bit within me that goes, you know, there's no doubt there's a God-given talent there, but it's up to us to develop it. Some of you know that I have a degree in violin and double majored in college and that sort of thing. And so sometimes people come to me and say, wow, I wish I could play like that. And I go, you can. If you invest thousands upon thousands of hours of squeaking and squawking and thousands upon thousands of dollars paying for an instrument and thousands upon thousands of dollars doing lessons, you can play like that too. Oh, no, I could never play like that. Well, you won't if you don't practice. And everybody sometimes has this thing of, oh, they're just talented. Now, there's no doubt God gives gifts of talent, but it's up to us to work with God to take it to the next level, okay? There's no doubt God will give someone a measure of greatness, but haven't you seen someone that you knew was much more talented, much more gifted, but they didn't work hard? And you thought, what a waste. You're like, wow, if I could take this dude's passion who doesn't have as much talent and place it in that guy's body who has everything, he'd be the greatest athlete on the planet. But we all know they don't want to give their all for it. They don't want to work. They don't want to practice, right? They don't want to put those hours in. They just want somebody to hand them something. And so here we are, understanding that God in his time will bring about the success that he so desires. So let's look at it this morning. Verse 33. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Now, that's the story we want to look at because that was the story, one of the stories that Jesus told. Very quick, very deliberate, but we all kind of go, All right. Jesus talked about yeast, dough, and three measures of flour. Not quite sure what that has to do with the kingdom. So let's kind of back up and let's just kind of look at it. I'll give this to you in a way of some good news. Last week when we talked about the parable of the mustard seed, and I talked about that God uses the insignificant or what we think are insignificant moments, the little small mustard seed, to really grow something. And we talked about here we are downtown as Gateway Church, and then we just helped plant a new church on the west side. We didn't have a whole lot of money. We had $4,000, but we leveraged every partnership that we had. We sent a church planner through assessments, and they're rigorous, rigorous assessments. I want you to understand, if I ever tell you this is a guy that and his family that we want to get behind, plant a church, let me tell you what they go through very quickly. They go through 4 online assessments. Mickey can tell you this is absolutely true because he's been through all of them, okay? So when I tell you Mickey is our chef for doing Nexus, all right, and I say I have full confidence of what he's trying to do, it's because he's been through all of this as well, all right? You have to get through the first online assessment, and you can go online if you want to take it yourself. It's a free test. You can go to neo360.org and see how well you do as an entrepreneur because that's what it measures. And in the first test, it's going to come back green, yellow, red. Green means this person displays characteristics of a good entrepreneur or church planner. Yellow means they got some things to work on, but they show some signs. Red means I don't think so, Tim. Okay, this just isn't probably going to be a good thing for them. All right, that saves the future church a lot of problems, and it saves that church planner a lot of heartaches as well. If they get past that one, then they go through another battery of tests. If you've ever taken disc profile, anybody done disc profile and that sort of stuff, okay? You have to go through all of that stuff, and then we can look at all the characteristics of what this church planner will do well and where they're going to struggle. Now, does that come up because we want to beat them up over how bad they are on the struggling part? No. What we want to do is prepare them and say, look, this is where you're going to have some trouble, and we want to help you get work there, okay? Then we send them through a 9-month, what's called launch school. It's located right here in Cleveland. It's one of the few church planting schools in the entire country, okay? In the United States, there's probably only 10 exactly like what we've got, and maybe 5 come up to the standard that we have. They go through 9 months of the school. They have to pass that school. Then we send them to a training center in Arizona for 1 week. They undergo clinical psychological testing. Anybody want to sign up now? Anybody want to be a church planner? I don't think so. See, it sounds like, oh, we just go out and play church. No, not with us, okay? Not with the group that we're with. There's other groups that will just, sure, you know. We don't do that. And if they go through that week and there's a bunch of church planners that have already planted churches that are assessing them throughout the week as well as the clinical psychologist, if they pass all of that week, okay, they have a term for it they don't like. Through that week, if they make it through that week, then they can come back and plant a church here in Northeast Ohio. All right? That's the rigorous assessment programs that we send our guys through. Because of that, our church plants are going to plant healthier. They're going to be they're going to grow a little bit quicker. They're going to have everything ready to go. Last week at Gateway West, 130 people showed up for their very first worship service. 30 people. This is what I always look at. See, as a church planner, you have to ask these questions. How many people were friends and family and well-wishers? All right? Because, see, I can get 130 people to show up. That doesn't mean that they live here in Cleveland, right? That doesn't mean that there are people that's going to come to the church. I can go to some other churches I know of and say, send me 20 people for this Sunday. And they'll do that, all right? But that isn't people that's going to come here to the Gateway West. About 30 of those people were friends, family, well-wishers. They had 100 that were solid from the community. Now, that included their launch team of about 20 people. So they had about 80 people from the community that were checking out Gateway West. Now, I don't know about you, but that's something to do a huge praise God kind of moment for. Because when we were planning down here, and I kept saying, we're going to be a church planting church, we're going to plant churches, I got some people that were like, why don't you plant yours first and worry about these others later? Now, we focused here, but I knew if we didn't set that in motion, we'll say, well, in 5 years we'll do one, or 10 years. In less than 2 years, we already had it in process, and at the 2.5-year point, right around in there, God has made it so that he took our mustard seed of faith. We only had $4,000 to start that church with. And I want you to know, just from Cleveland business leaders, not nationally, Cleveland business leaders, over $24,000 has been given by Cleveland business people to Gateway West. You see what happens. You take a mustard seed. And now then we move to the yeast. And so it's like, well, what's the yeast all about? Well, just like the mustard seed had to do with the outward signs, okay, the yeast has to do with the inward. And that's what I want us to kind of focus on this morning. And I did some research this week because I was like, well, what does yeast really do, right? I mean, I've always seen it in action with bread and that sort of thing, but what's the yeast all about? Let me give you a few things that'll kind of help us. Yeast is in the air everywhere. Now, I know you're kind of, if you're a germaphobe, man, I just freaked you out, and I don't apologize. It's just reality, okay? All right? Yeast is in the air everywhere. That's just the way life is. That's the way God set it up. The other thing about yeast is it has the ability to reproduce very rapidly no matter where they are, okay? The ability to reproduce very rapidly no matter where they are. It also then, within dough, produces enzymes, okay? So if you've ever watched some dough begin to rise, okay? If you've ever watched that and you're like, and so what I did was, yesterday, Sherry and I went to the store, we got some frozen dough, and we set it out, and for the longest time, it said, you know, hey, you're going to have to wait between, get this, 4 to 7 hours before it began to rise. I'm like, well, now there's a time frame, right? You know, I mean, in this day and age, 4 to 7 hours, you know, can't you narrow that down a little bit? But guess what? You don't know when it's going to begin. But here's what you know about the yeast. It's working. You don't see it, but it's working. And here's what yeast also does. It produces enzymes. It changes the starch to sugar. All right, and we all go, okay, all right. Starch to sugar. And then another enzyme takes over and changes the sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide. Now you're going, wait a second, alcohol? Can I get drunk on bread? Okay, don't go there. It's not that significant, all right? Don't go home and eat tons of bread just to see, you know, okay, it's starting to rise, I'm going to eat it and see if I can get a, you know, buzz. That's crazy, all right? But what happens is throughout the baking process is once it gets to a certain temperature, it will quit rising and the yeast will die off. And then that's when the carbon dioxide and the alcohol begins to burn off. And that's what makes those little air things in there to make it nice and fluffy. So yesterday, when we were making our bread, it didn't start out like this. It started out as a little ball. There wasn't much to it. 3 hours later, I go in there to look at it, and Sherry goes, wow, it has done nothing. I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of making me nervous. 4 hours, wow, it has done nothing. 5 hours, nothing. And then you walk back in, and all of a sudden, it's beginning to go, and you're like, oh, the properties are working. And then we put it in there, and I don't know about you, but the smell of fresh bread makes me weak. I love the smell of fresh bread. There is a place in Branson, just outside of Branson, Missouri, and I forget where else it's located. I think it's down in Alabama as well. It's called Lambert's. Has anybody been to Lambert's or heard of Lambert's? Okay, all right, been to Lambert's. You know what I'm about to talk about then. This is the place of the Throde rolls. And you go, Throde? That's not correct English. Shut up. It's a Southern thing, all right? I took Sherry there, and every time we go back down, we always want to go to Lambert's because this is what they do. They've got a restaurant there. You get in line because it's usually just tons of people. And you get in there, and when you sit down, they start bringing all this stuff to your table. And it's not like these nice places that everything's got your silverware and stuff, you just get a paper towel. And they come around with okra and they just throw it on your paper towel. And if you want to eat with a fork, you can eat with a fork, but you can eat with your hands. But then what they do is all of their servers, okay, their servers walk around with these baskets full of hot, freshly baked rolls. And the aroma fills the restaurant. And here's what they do. They will take those rolls, and you've been there, you know this, and so you will be able to tell everybody if I'm lying or not. You can be on the other side of the restaurant. This is a big restaurant, okay? The other side of the restaurant, from me to the back row even. And if you hold up your hand, you better be ready. Because they're going to take one and they're going to sling it to you. Now, if you can't catch, this is not the place for you, all right? If you miss, don't pick it up. All right? Don't go, oh, because then they know you're a newbie, all right? You don't pick it up on the floor and go, I'm so sorry. It's just a roll, okay? They make thousands per day. They throw it to you, man, it's hot and it's ready to go. And it's a southern thing for me, and Sherry would always look at me like, what are you doing? I love to put honey on my hot baked roll. And I don't know if you've tried honey on your roll. If you try it once, man, you'll never, ever walk away from it again. I love the smell of that. And this morning, if you were to come around, all right, and you were to open this bag up that's nicely sealed, man, you smell that bread. It's like, wow, look at what has happened. It's good stuff. You know what God does within each and every one of us through His Holy Spirit? If you've ever had this question before, is God really working in me? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like yeast. See, in that day and time, they didn't have bakers. Everybody baked their own bread. So everybody understood exactly what he was talking about. You know what you did? You always saved a batch of the previous dough back so that you could mix it into the new part. Because guess why? You only needed a little bit of yeast. Because it reproduces rapidly, and it doesn't matter where it is. And as long as you rub that into the whole dough, it's going to rise every single time. And Jesus says this. You can look at your life in an hour or 2 years, sometimes even five, and wonder, is God really working in me? Am I growing? Am I really doing anything? It just doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere, and I'm trying. Jesus says, the kingdom of God, it's like yeast. When you don't realize that it's permeated your life and you don't understand really what's going on, all of a sudden it goes just like the dough yesterday. 1 hour, nothing. 2, 3, 4, nothing. 5, all of a sudden, here it goes. So did it just all of a sudden start working? No. The yeast was always, always at work. And I've got good news for every one of you here this morning. In Philippians 1:6, it says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You know what that means? God is working in your life, even when you don't see it. You don't see yeast, you know? You don't say, oh, there they are, aren't they cute? Look at them going, man, just working the dough, woo, you know? You don't see it. And all of a sudden, man, it's completed, and you go, wow, look at what's happened. Things have changed. Things have changed. So here's the question that I usually get back from folks. If I'm going to give my life to Christ and I'm going to follow after Christ, what's going to happen? See, I know of some people who are nervous and have been nervous about getting their lives to Christ because it's like, what's going to change? Here's what I would tell you. Nothing changes and everything changes. See, here's the power of yeast. Yeast destroys nothing. It transforms everything. It takes the power of the sugar and takes the enzymes and it begins to transform it into something miraculous. Something new, but it doesn't destroy anything. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like yeast, that when the Holy Spirit of God, when you begin to follow after Christ, when he comes into your life, he maximizes every good quality about you and blows it up. See, I know of some people that have always struggled with that, where they go, wow, you know, I don't know if I give my life to Christ, you know, it just seems like that, you know, he'll just take away everything. He'll just mess up my whole life. And Jesus goes, no, the kingdom of God is like yeast. Yeast transforms. It never destroys. You know what Satan's work is? Satan's work is very clear. It's to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, that's not what yeast does. The kingdom of God is like yeast. That's what begins to happen. Let's look at our GPS this morning, our good practical stuff. Hopefully you'll be able to take this away with you this morning. The Spirit combines what He is with what we are so that we might become what we were destined to be. Listen to it very carefully. The Spirit combines what He is with what we are so that we might become what we were destined to be. And what Jesus is saying is this: when the Holy Spirit comes into your life as that yeast, He begins to work and moves throughout your entire body, your spirit, your soul. And as He begins to move through that, you may go, well, I'm just not changing enough. I'm not growing enough. God's at work. Rest assured, God is at work. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you, there's the salvation process, will be faithful to complete it. You don't see the yeast at work. You may not feel the Holy Spirit at work. You may say, I'm still struggling with the same stuff. Understand this. God is faithful to complete the work. So He takes what you have, just like the dough. That's us. And the yeast begins to infiltrate our lives. I want to go back to one thing that I said earlier, because I think this is a powerful part about yeast. Listen to what I said earlier. Yeast reproduces very rapidly, no matter where it is. You know what the principle here is for us as Christians? Our lives ought to be so contagious and so inviting because we're so loving and so forgiving and we're so vibrant, even during the difficult times, because we've all got them. This isn't a thing of, oh, push away the difficulty, everything's just wonderful, okay? But through those difficult times that people can see that there's a difference in us and that Christ is replicated rapidly. When I look at us as Christians and as Gateway Church as launching other churches, okay, because we're going to go launch another church. We're not just going to go, hey, we did our one, and now then for the next 50 years we do nothing, all right? We're going to go launch another one, okay? I can't guarantee it'll be successful because it's God that gives the increase, but we plant. We need the principle of the yeast. It doesn't matter where we are. We should reproduce rapidly in a spiritual sense. Let me ask you this question this morning. If we were to do an inventory of our lives, how are we doing with conveying that love of Christ to others? How are we doing with that? Or do we have a tendency, if someone says, wow, man, I don't know what it is about you, but you know, everybody just likes you and everything else, that you go, well, I've just always tried to be a nice person. And you wonder why people around you don't know about Christ, or they don't seem to understand. It's because when given the opportunities, we just give that, oh, I'm just a nice person. I just try to love everybody. And we don't say, well, can I speak honestly? And if they say yes, then you can just simply say, on my own, I probably wouldn't be that way. I probably wouldn't care. I probably wouldn't give a rip. But when I met Christ, He helped transform me. There's nothing ugly about that. Nothing rude about that. There's nothing in my face about that. It's just a statement. And then they can take it from there. If they say, oh, I don't want to talk about God, okay, all right, that's fine. But not this thing of, well, I just try to be a good person, a nice person, loving person, just forgiving. That's the way my family raised me. That's not going to do anything. Then that's just going to be, oh, well, I wish I was in your family. Okay, that's not a good answer. It's not the right way to go. God said, let the Holy Spirit of God come into your life and work like yeast. And I've got good news for everybody in this room. When you struggle, I didn't say if, when you struggle, know this, God's Holy Spirit is at work. And it may take 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, before all of a sudden the conditions are right and it takes off. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Because sometimes I go, and I feel like I'm running, but I'm on a treadmill with God, you know? I'm like, you know, running, but I'm not getting anywhere. And all of a sudden, God brings that increase. And I hope it's good news for you this morning to understand God's not here to destroy. He doesn't want to take away. He wants to maximize who you are. Let's everyone bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Father, even in the middle of this morning of, I know on my end just the frustration that, just the frustration of the lyrics not being on screen and technical difficulties and all of that stuff that goes on. That even if we get that right, even if we play all the notes right and we sing it just right and the lighting's just perfect and everything's just exactly the way we think it should be, we can miss you. And so, Lord, in our own lives, when it does go wrong, and we have technical difficulties in our personal life, and things aren't working right, and we don't feel right, or we don't react right, or we don't feel like we're getting anywhere, Lord, that you would remind us of this principle, that you are at work, and that you're going to be faithful to bring us into perfect completion if we stay surrendered to you. And so, Father, I pray for the people in this room that maybe have thought about following you, but have been scared to death, and they've just kind of been sold the thought and the ultimately the lie of, if you follow after Christ, you're going to lose it all, and God's going to take it away. Lord, that you would help them to see this morning that you very clearly said, you're not here to destroy anything. You're here for transformation. And so, Father, that you would transform all of us, that your Holy Spirit would permeate our entire lives, and that we would become more like you each and every day. And so, God, we give our lives to you, so that your Holy Spirit will work within us. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.